Hello and welcome to this week's InternetCases.com podcast, coming to you in MP3 from Chicago, Illinois, USA. Today's March 11th, 2005. I'm your host, Evan Brown, and I'm the author of the weblog found at InternetCases.com. Thanks for tuning in. This week we're going to talk about the March 4th decision of the Second Circuit in the Faulkner versus Mindscape case. You can read about it on InternetCases.com in a March 10th blog posting titled, "Electronic Scans of National Geographic Were Proper Revisions Under Ticini Standard." Although this case didn't deal directly with the Internet, it's important as an Internet case because of the possible implications it would have in any situation where printed materials are transformed into electronic versions. The dispute arose over some CD-ROMs of National Geographic magazine. About 10 years ago, the National Geographic Society set out to scan every issue of National Geographic since 1888 and copy them to CD-ROM. You can imagine how labor-intensive it would have been to do this, but they got the project done. The plaintiffs in this case were photographers who had taken the photos that had appeared in National Geographic over the years and authors of articles that had appeared there as well. They had sued National Geographic and others for copyright infringement, claiming that using their works on the CD-ROMs went beyond the scope of the original license agreements the plaintiffs had had with National Geographic. At the district court level, National Geographic argued that the electronic copies didn't infringe the plaintiffs' copyrights because they were privileged revisions of a collective work. The district court sided with National Geographic and granted summary judgment. On appeal, which is this most recent case, the decision in favor of National Geographic was upheld. The court looked to the Supreme Court case in New York Times versus Ticini to side with National Geographic and determined that the CD-ROMs were a privileged revision under Section 201C of the Copyright Act. Now, to fully understand all this, we've got to back up a little bit and look at the Copyright Act for a couple of definitions. We first need to know that a collective work is a work that's made up of independent works in themselves and assembled into a collective whole. And we see collective works every day. You go to the newsstand and pick up any magazine. The publisher may own the copyright in the way that the magazine is laid out and the way that the articles and pictures are selected, but that doesn't mean that the publisher can reprint one of the pictures in the magazine all by itself. It doesn't own the copyright in that individual image. Probably the photographer or someone else does. So National Geographic owned the copyright in its magazine in as much as it owned the rights in the way that the magazine was selected and laid out. It owned the copyright in the collective work. Now turning to Section 201C of the Copyright Act, we see how the owner of the copyright in a collective work can use the individual works in subsequent versions of the collective work. The Act allows the owner of the copyright in a collective work to use the individually contributed works in any revision or later collective work in the same series. So National Geographic needed to show that the CD-ROMs were just a revision of the paper magazine so that Section 201 would save them from infringement liability. The court employed the test set out in Ticini to determine that the electronic replication of the National Geographics was acceptable because it was such a revision under Section 201. Ticini requires one to look at how individual photos and articles are presented to and perceptible by users of the electronic versions. Here, the works appeared just as they had in the print versions. They had just been scanned. The court said that the original context of the magazines was quote-unquote omnipresent in the electronic version. So this case is relevant to any publisher of electronic materials online. It sheds a little more light on the Ticini case, and the main lesson to be learned is that if you're the owner of the copyright to a collective work and you've got a license to publish the individual works to make a compilation on paper, if you're going to make an electronic version, you may not need to get a new license so long as the original context that appeared on paper can be perceived when one looks at the electronic version. So that wraps up this week's podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Remember, all that I've said here is merely for your information and entertainment purposes. If you need legal advice, be sure to personally consult with a lawyer. For more information on the music you're hearing, be sure to check the show notes and the blog post accompanying this podcast. As always, please send your comments to ebrown@internetcases.com. I'll talk to you again next Friday.